to share together from the scriptures. The message is entitled Obedience. Obedience. Amen. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Now, there must be a willingness for you to eat the good of what life has to give. Willingness is a key to obedience. There are a lot of people who do things out of sacrifice, not out of obedience. In other words, it's an afterthought. After people have gone through hard time, it's then that they do something for God. But this morning, I want to bring this to you, that you don't have to be forced by circumstances for you to love the Lord. So my challenge or my encouragement to us is that let us be willing and be obedient. And obedience will lead us to eat the good of the land. The Lord has already promised that we will eat what? The good of the land. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you tell your neighbor, obedience is a key to prosperity. It was not hard work. I didn't say hard work is a key. There are a lot of people who have been working hard. Our parents have been working hard. They are still not rich. Imagine somebody. Oh, your parents never worked like mine, but mine were working very hard, and they are still not rich. Obedience is a key. Now, the challenge with obedience, I gave an example with the first service that I had a case many years past. He's a member of our church. I don't think they would be offended. Many years past, they got married nicely. And, you know, during counseling, I counsel a lot. There are three things that are important to make it in life, in marriage. One is communication. You must be talking. Make sure every day you are talking. Is that fine? Ask somebody, even though you slept with them, how are you? How did you sleep? How do you feel? Are you fine? You are talking, isn't it? You must talk. Meet each other's needs by talking. Number two, intimacy. Intimacy, sex plays a major role in it. And the third leg is a tripod this day. The third leg is finances. If finances are not taken care of, communication is not taken care of, or sex is not taken care of, there's going to be chaos. It's very funny that most women will get married the first year, 2 years, because they want children, they will allow their husband to sleep with them. And then after the first child, second child, they close. And then they spoil the marriage. Most women, their husband are living on budget, sexually. Very tight, desert. It's like a desert relationship. Those who are not married, they are having more sex, which they are not supposed to have. And those that are married, no sex. That's one of the three legs. The second one is communication. The third one, that's the one that I'm talking about. This young woman was doing very well. She earned a lot of money as his modern life. And after they got married, after I canceled them on finances, they listened, but it seems like the woman didn't listen. They went for honeymoon. During honeymoon, this is my additions. But somewhere it happened that the woman said to the husband, you keep your man, I'll keep mine. Can you tell your neighbor, you keep your money, I keep mine. Yes, he says, I'll keep my money, you keep your money. I'll pay for 1, 2, 3, you pay for 1, 2, 3. Is that fine, brother? Brother is married already. Does he have? If you want peace, don't fight your wife. I'm telling you. So, this honorable man says, it's fine, no problem, have your way. What the woman didn't know was that the Lord did something supernatural and doubled the money of the man. Let's say the man was earning like 5,000 and the woman is earning like 20,000. Do you see the gap is big? When the Lord doubled it, let's say the Lord doubles it to 40, 45, 50,000. You're coming from 5,000 to that much. I don't know if you get it. It's a true story what I'm telling you. The amounts might not be correct, but It's something like that. It's like, even if you were to get promotion at work, you can't cover the person. Now, this woman comes back to me and say, "My father, I think there was a mistake somewhere after we got married because my husband is using his money and I'm using my money." So that advice that you gave to us, that it's very important that we have a common budget, we use the same money, get pocket money, and then some money should be used, you know. She was not willing in the beginning. The Bible says, if you are what? You are willing and obedient. You cannot conceive and have a child if you are not having sex. It's not possible. Is that fine? So the woman is coming, saying, "Please help. I need your assistance. Now the things in the house have turned for my benefit. Now we should share the money." I look at the circumstance, I laughed. And I say, "It's your fire. You have made it. Enjoy the heat." Enjoy what? The heat. I say, enjoy how it is like to have less and go for equality, because you are saying you are working hard. Another story that I can give to you is married people. Husband and wife, they are married. The husband is earning a lot of money. He says to the wife, "I'll pay for your car, for the house, everything. I'll pay for it. You buy grocery and furniture." The wife is it's not even a PA. You know, what do you call them? This secretary. You know, those years we were not using the word PA, is a modern personal assistant. You know what I'm talking about when I say secretary. Like you type letters at work. It's not like you are working really close to the boss, but you are not far from the boss office. Whatever work that comes, you are a secretary, you are working, you are typing, working for, before computers become popular, everybody's typing his own letter. Then, when the relationship got worse, the husband was earning like possibly 200 times what the wife is earning. The wife is earning like maybe 3,000, and the husband is earning like maybe 100,000. Can you buy food in a mansion for 3,000? Can you buy furniture in a 3-5 million house? Willingness. Can you tell me? You must be willing. Your failure is as a result that you have an independent spirit. You don't want to follow. This young woman suffered from the abuse of the husband to say, "I said you buy the furniture." When I came into the scene, I said, "It's not possible. Look how much your wife earns. You are not willing. You are just being impossible." I'm going to tell somebody. If you are willing and obedient, you will do what? You will eat the good of the land. Matthew 8, verse 9. It says, "For I am also a man under authority." Can you tell your neighbor, "I am a man under authority"? You see, most of us are not under authority, so we are a law to ourselves. You are a law to yourself. You do what you like. This centurion man was saying, "I'm an obedient servant. I take instructions. When they speak to me, I can take instruction. I can follow through." And he says, "You don't need to say anything, because what you say, I will do. What you say will come to pass. I am a man under authority." The question is, are you a man, a woman under authority, or you are a man that is under no authority? You are your own person. The centurion man says, "I am a man under authority. I am submitted." Your ability to move forward is your submission. Your ability to move forward is your obedience, your willingness to obey. Your willingness to obey. Hallelujah. Number one, I've got about 5 points. Number one, first point, Jesus is the Son of God. Satan wants you to find life purpose in creation. Satan wants you to find life purpose in the things that are created. You become busy with the things that are created. Satan wants you to find life and purpose in creation, or the created, not in the creator himself. Satan doesn't want you to serve God. He wants you to be busy and think you are doing something important. Let me tell somebody. Can we go together to the book of Matthew 4, verse 3 to 4? It says, now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God. Can you tell your neighbor, if you are the Son of God? You see, that's the same temptation in the book of Genesis chapter 3. When Satan came, he comes with a cloak as if he's giving a very good, you know, it's an accolade. He says, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. You have been a Christian for a number of years. You have committed yourself to the Lord. You have done all that needs to be done. And it seems all the other people are succeeding except you. So Satan will come and give you some idea. Why don't you do it your way? You know, there are people, no way, no my way or no way. Modern Christians are like that. I was saying to the women, I wish I could preach a nice message to you, come with the olive oil, pray for it, and tell you, I'll anoint your ring finger. In 3 months, you'll get married. I said, the church will go bazaar. If I announce it on the street that if you come, this will happen to you, people will come. This is what people love. Itching ears. Itching what?
Yes.
Yes. They want to hear what they want. They will even pay. One pastor, he asked me to speak for them on a radio, but I didn't have time. I was overseas at the time, and he decided to do it. When he discussed the subject, the people called. And when they called, they told him, it's us who are paying the money, it's not you. Yes. They say, we are taking ourselves there. What is your problem? Are you jealous that we are not giving you the money? He says, I'm the one who's paying. I want to be paid for prayer. So I paid for that prayer. So it's none of your business. It's none of your business. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God, provide for yourself. That's what Satan was saying to Jesus. Most of us are on a mission to provide for ourselves. It's a default setting. You are pursuing after the wind. You are pursuing vanity of vanities. It says, if you are the Son of God, provide for yourself. Don't wait on God. You know, there is a saying when we grew up, we say, God helps those who help themselves. Have you heard that word before? These are thieves talking. They want to steal your car. They are saying, God helps those who help themselves. So they are coming to steal your car and kill you. And they've said, God, help. God has been helping me. These are thieves. Some of us want to be like the thieves. The way we dress. I've watched people in a big Mercedes Benz. The way he has dressed, he's dressed like a thug. Hardworking person, doing a good job. But he wants to be seen as something else, providing for himself. Look at me, I've arrived. Satan wants you not to wait on God for you to sabotage yourself. So I want you to understand, bread is not the purpose of our living. Can you tell your neighbor, bread is not the purpose of our living? Or let's bring it down. Food is not the reason we are living. Yes. Satan, when he approached Adam and Eve, the main issue was bread. The same thing you are pursuing. He distracted them. They never had a problem with food. None of us have a problem with food. None. Even the hobo on the street, they eat every night. You can go and ask them. There are some people who sleep on the street. They eat. This is why some of them no longer buy food. The money we give them, they buy something extra to intoxicate themselves. So food is never an issue, but Satan has made it an issue. So when it comes to Jesus, it's the same temptation. to say, work for yourself, do things for yourself, so that you are derailed, you don't achieve that which God intended for you in the beginning. All those who work for themselves, they cannot be in the provision of God. Adam and Eve, they were chased out of the provision of God. They had to start working for themselves. They have to start to work. Make a covenant with the Lord. All of us need to find a work, to do something worthwhile, to be paid. The issue is, what is our attitude with the resources that God gives to us? Is it our own? Can you tell your neighbor, we are sustained, yes, and kept, yes, and provided for by God? Yes. I never understood this principle, because when you are working, you think, most of us have lived our life, never paid for anything, and here we are today. I can even show you people from a young age until they graduated as medical doctors. Somebody has been paying for their fees. Who is it who paid for you? Can you ask your neighbor, who is it who paid for you? Were you rich when you were going to school? Eh? People are not talking. Were you this rich that today you are telling us, this work is very important, I can't serve God, I'm too busy. Huh? I'm too busy. I'm too what? Too busy. The Bible tells us, Jesus answered Satan and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Obedience is to follow every word. Some of us, when it comes to tithes, offering, we don't give. When it comes, the Bible says, husband, love your wife. We will love all others except our wife. Ask those who are married. It's true. Wife, obey. Submit to your husband. Don't submit to all the men. In the church, now and then I tell women, I say, don't forget, if you treat me like this, treat your husband the way you are treating me. Then you are doing well. Because we've got that form of godliness when we are in public. Isn't it? Isn't it? Some men don't support their wives. I said some men don't support their wives. Yeah. Jesus here, he says to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds. If from today we are saying, Lord, in everything that I do, I will do according to your word, our provision will come speedily. Our breakthrough will come speedily. The value that you have has been distorted, that your success and breakthrough is when you drive the biggest car, the biggest house. That's not the value of the kingdom of heaven. It's a value of Babylon, because Babylon has in it an enslavement. Everybody must work for Babylon. Everybody, most of the time, everybody is working for Babylon. People will give all their life for a house. Can you pay a house for 20 years? Can you really give your life to those things? I'll be preaching this message for many years. I want you to hear me. It is not worth. May money never be the barometer of your heart. May it never measure your joy or sadness. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus resisted Satan. That same temptation. And if you read Matthew 4:11, it says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. Now, all of us have been ministered to by angels. Maybe sometime we don't know. If you are a student, you have gone to school and never paid anything, who paid for you? I know you're going to tell me, Ernest Fass, and then my uncle paid, my grandmother paid, my father paid the bid, and everybody. Was it your effort? Church, let's talk. Angels have been providing for you. Some of us have been eating, and we have not paid anything. And we are still complaining at the same time. Eh? I don't know if you understand. Are you aware that God can start a scheme just for one person? That seems like it benefits everybody else, but it was just open for one person and then it gets closed. Let me tell you my testimony. I was going to fly to the U.S. We were robbed. I was with Pastor Mesh and Dr. David. We came off the airport. We were robbed. They took my passport. I lost my passport. And I was supposed to be flying to the U.S. in a month's time, like 3-4 weeks' time. And so because I lost my passport, I need to get the visa again and all of that. So I pick up a phone. That time, Home Affairs have closed the system. Nobody can apply for a passport. You remember there was a chaos in Home Affairs. Nobody could apply for a visa and for a passport. I pick up a phone. I need that passport to travel. I pick up the phone. I speak to somebody in Home Affairs. I say to them, I need to travel. This is critical and very important. And the person says to me, listen, be in Home Affairs at this time. Make sure that you have filled the application form. Then call me. When you are finished and they've checked your forms, everything is fine. Don't hand them over. Call me. So I phone again. He says, is that so? He says, I'm going to open the system for 1 hour for them to capture your everything. Then your things will come out. Can you say angels? Yes. One phone call. One phone call. One day, I think we raised a prayer in the church. I wanted to buy a property. They refused. In the morning when I wake up, the Holy Spirit says, phone the head of housing in APSA. I wake up in the morning, past 8, I phone head of housing. I say to the person, I'm a pastor, I need the house. The guy says, I'll open the system again. I'll open the system for 1 minute or so. You must change the price and bid again. And you tell me there are no angels. You have been living for free until now. Until you started working. When? Until you started working. It's then that God is not involved in it. You went to school. Nobody paid for you. So what is it that makes you to think God has stopped providing? What is it that makes you to believe that now suddenly you can provide for yourself? It's a curse. Yeah, it's a curse. You cannot work for the kingdom of darkness. Amen. The house you are building, it doesn't matter how big it is, we are working for Babylon. One pastor said to me, it doesn't matter how much houses you will have, my friend. When you die, Babylon will take them back. And he says, the way Babylon even works, even their tax system makes sure the day you die, they tax you. They make sure your children never get your share. A good share, you will text and get their money. To reduce your wealth, to make sure that every person who's born in your house must be working. Everybody who's on earth must work for Babylon. But the obedience that God is calling us to is that we come out of the system of the world. And we love God with our lives and give ourselves to it. But Satan's desire, when he was showing Jesus and he showed Adam and Eve, is a false desire to be seen to be prosperous. You are already prosperous. But when you don't know, the Bible says, when a prince, who's supposed to be the king, when he's still a child, he's got menders. He's got people who have to take care. They can't make up their mind. So most of us in the kingdom, we are thinking because we have got money in the bank, your future is secured. There are people who have billions of rents and they are dying today. They are sick. They can't heal themselves. All their life, they've labored, they've worked. That's why when the rich man was dying, the young rich man, Jesus said to the young rich man, tonight tell me. He says, tonight I'm coming for your soul. Because he was saying, no, I'm going to save enough money so that when the time comes, I will just relax and enjoy myself. Relax where? Relax where? Your disobedience has made you a slave. You are being enslaved by your physical desires. The only thing that Satan can do to us is to bait us, to give us something that looks right. And we pursue it. And we labor hard. We work ourselves out of it. And at the end of the day, we realize that's not it. Praise the Lord. Man is a bad master. Am I telling somebody? Okay, number two. In obedience, we surrender our will. When you are obedient, you surrender your will. God blesses the humble. Jesus said to the Father, "Not my will, but your will, O God." Luke 22:42 says, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take the cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Hallelujah. Are you humble to serve the Lord? Are you humble to serve the Lord with your money? Because that's where obedience starts. To pay tithe is humility. It's people who are humble who pay tithe. Can you tell your neighbor? It's people who are humble, who know they don't have, that's why they pay tithes. Those who have don't pay tithes. Most of the time, those who believe they have, they don't honor God. I don't know you heard what I said. Can you tell your neighbor? I say, most of the time, those who have don't honor God. Yeah. Because it's pride that is keeping us from doing it. Those who don't have, they are the ones that... The Bible tells us about an old woman who was giving all she had. And Jesus was talking to the disciples. He says, this one has given more. Because why? She loves more. I'm asking somebody. Yes. Your love is seen in your devotion to God. Some of us can do everything but can't win a soul. Because we don't love God. God is a lover of souls. Jesus came for our soul. We are in church because Jesus has loved us. We are here because Jesus has died for us. He says, I've got a good plan for you to prosper you, not to harm you. Hallelujah. Thirdly, be a doer of the word and not the hearer only. Some of us, we just hear, we can't do. Disobedience, when you are disobedient, you communicate to those around you that you know more than God. I don't know if you heard what I said. I said, when you are disobedient to your parents, simply you are saying to them, what you are talking to me about is rubbish. I know more than you. You can't tell me what to do. I'll do what I like. I'll do what I want. Satan wants us to take matters into our hands so that he will have an unfair advantage over our life. We are like fish. If you take fish out of water, that fish is doomed, except one or two fish that are able to live outside water. But most of us, we are like fish. Should we be taken out of the presence of God altogether, we are doomed. But most of the time, we look at ourselves and we think we are self-sustaining. Number four, rebellion is witchcraft. Can you tell anybody, rebellion is witchcraft? Rebellion leads to what we call selective obedience. Selective. Can you tell your neighbor selective obedience? Selective obedience. Selective obedience. Saul, the king, the first king of Israel, suffered from it. It is an inability to discern between what is truth and error. You look at yourself. You argue every truth in the scriptures. You know, it's more than life. People say, don't judge me. They are doing wrong. They'll say, no, don't judge me. Selective. When Saul, king of Israel, 1 Samuel 15:3, when he was sent, God says, go and kill everything. When he comes back, He says, I've done what the Lord has said I should do. Was it true? Church, you are too quiet. Is it true? So rebellion is doing what you like and disrespecting the commandments of the Lord. You see, selective obedience leads us to what we call self-righteousness and falsehood, which is the new truth. It's like you are using the word of God as South African constitution. The word of God is not South African constitution, where everything goes. Am I telling somebody? What the constitution allows is not scriptural, and therefore it will not be right, even if it's popular. Am I telling somebody? I hope you understand the difference. Self-righteousness and falsehood is a new world order. Go and read, not now. I know you have data. Not now, later. Go and read. There is a woman called Alice Bailey, 10-point plan. When he wrote her desire, the 10 points, one of them is that make sure that people don't follow Christianity or Judaism. Christian, what the Bible teaches, says make sure they don't. Destroy the family structure. Let people have free sex. You can go and read it. The United Nations, every time United Nations, they open their mouth, they are propagating those 10 points. They say, let children have sex everywhere and anywhere. And make sure that if they're having so much sex, then they must have abortion. So make sure that abortion clinics are everywhere. It's a new order. Even though you don't like it. I was listening on the news. This is a women's month. This is why we are in the women's conference. One of the women was explaining about abortion. To say, abortion, people should be canceled before they make the decision. They should know what they are getting themselves into. You should have listened to people are taking that person. People were saying, it is my body. I do what I like with it. So I say, nobody's denying that it is your body. But if you are going for an operation that is so serious, that has the ability to affect your mind and your body and your future, somebody needs to sit down and make you aware. These are the repercussions or potential challenges you might have. So that tomorrow you don't turn around and say you were not told. And the choice is still there. You are still able to do what you like. But you should have listened to the callers. They were vilifying the woman that you think you want to control our life and all of that. And I said, self-righteousness and falsehood has become a new world order. Obedience puts us in God's perfect plan. Number 5, and I close. Disobedience. Having a form of godliness but denying the power of. One of the things that I said is to be a Christian and never have a devotion, never pray, never know God. Just come to church. With modern life, when we went to plenary, one of our leaders was saying, this thing of putting scriptures on the screen, we have made our church lazy. People don't come with Bibles anymore. And we're saying, I don't even like this cell phone Bible that you are reading, Rudy. You are encouraging others. Eh? I said, times have changed. You know? Times have changed. But it's true. Very few people have got Bibles. They can't read for themselves. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. It says, having a form of godliness but denying the power, denying its power. And the Bible says, and from such people turn away. God's call upon us is to be obedient. Obedience is the key. Obedience might seem to be slow, but it's faster. I'm asking somebody. Have you been driving 120 km per hour, cruising on the N1, and somebody comes with a German car? You can't even see the registration. The car is gone. And we look at each other with Pastor K, and he says, what speed do you think he was doing? I say, he wants to break the sound barrier, this one. The fact that people are fast doesn't mean they will be the first. No, no, not life. In the race, Bolt can be number one. But in the race of life, Bolt, one day we might hear that we have to donate money to bury him. Because the race of life is not popularity race. No. Most people are losing their life because they don't want the truth. Or if the truth is said, it's being poured with cold water so that everybody is discouraged. No sane person will go against God's direct command. That's why Satan will do everything to make sure that we are deceived. Disobedience will lead us to deception. Some of us are deceived. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm saying. I'm saying what? Some of us are what? Are deceived. We've been deceived to believe we can have life by ourselves. But we can't. May the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If we do not lay down our lives, we will find a way of fulfilling our own wills. And this is what Satan wants. He wants you to do your own thing so that you fail. Yes. So that you fail. He wants you to do your own thing so that you fail. Can we go together to Matthew 16:24? Let the word speak. Can you tell your neighbor, let the word speak for itself. Yeah. Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Can you ask your neighbor, who are you following? Ask them, where is your cross? Yes. It says, if anyone desires to follow me, to come after me, let him deny himself. What is it to deny yourself? Huh? Let him do what? Deny himself. What is it to deny yourself? It's to let go and let God be in charge. What we learned about Jesus is that there are angels that God has sent to provide for us. But since we have made the decision, Mama Kero, that we will provide for ourselves, this way we are poor. This way we are poor. To try and show that you are rich, you get more into debt, into more debt, until one day Satan takes everything away. Am I to somebody? Am I talking to somebody? Amen. If anyone desires to come after me, there is a story that is told. It's a true story that I was told. It was told by the senior pastor of the group of churches. They call them Back to Jerusalem Movement. They are in China. China, Hong Kong, part of Japan, India. They do have a few churches there. They call them Back to Jerusalem. It's a conglomerate of churches. So the pastor says one day, people came into the church, opposers of the kingdom of God, came into the church, found the pastor, the first pastor, they stabbed him with knives. They left him dead on the floor. They went to another church, did the same. This one church that is under his care, the church came, they surrounded the pastor and prayed. I don't know how many holes he had. They say a lot. It's like every part of the body has knifing on it. After they prayed, the pastor rose from the dead. He became alive again. Those people came back. After some months, they came back. They apprehended the pastor. They cut him. They killed him. They cut, open his stomach, take his belly, stomach, heart, liver, chopped it like mincemeat, and spread it throughout the wall. It's a true story. And after they've done that, they write with his blood on the wall. wake him up. Resurrect him. Let's see. So he says, I went to that church to comfort them because it was brutal. You know, they have pictures. I will show you. I think maybe some things are too brutal. They cut people's head, put them in a basket, typically in the basket. One, anyway, I'll tell you this, the second story. Let me finish this one. When the pastor went there and he found the PA and the many elders and leaders, so he was talking to this woman to say it must be traumatizing, painful. And the young woman says, no, with us, this has been a great celebration. More people have been born again because of his death. We've been energized because in China, when we receive Jesus, we are signing our death sentence. We know they are going to hunt you. If they get you, you are going to die. Or if you don't die, you will be in jail for a very long, long, long time. You see, the problem with us is that we've been made to believe, we've been taught the false gospel that receiving Jesus means showing off wealth and all of that. That's not the purpose of the wealth that God is blessing us with. The purpose of the wealth that God is giving to us is that the gospel may be preached. There's no amen. Thank you, Pastor Bassani. I said, your money, your hard work, do you want to provide for yourself or you want angels to provide for you? Let's just talk about that. Do you want to provide for yourself or you want the angels to provide for you? Huh? You want angels to provide for you. Now, angels don't deliver in your timetable. Because you are not their master. They are seconded from heaven. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. The gospel we are being taught is the gospel that tells you you will live comfortably. Yes, you can live comfortably, bless you. But you can't take everything or anything to heaven. The only thing you can take to heaven is souls of men. So if you are working, the question is your money working for the kingdom? Or you are looking for the next high thing? You want your next biggest car? So when the young woman was spoken to, she said to the pastor, you know what, for us, this is fuel. The pastor was killed. We know when we get born again, we are going to die. Here they kill people here. Do you think the Christians in Russia, before Russia became free, they became born again because they were going to get money? Like the way the gospel is being preached today, if you get born again, you will be healed, you will be fine. So you are not really loving Jesus except... like the person I gave an example, this is a true story, happened here in our church. It says, I was sent from another church for you to come and pray for me. So-and-so was here, you prayed for them, they are healed. So I've come for, I say, are you born again? Do you want to receive? They said, no. I want to be healed. Pray for me, pastor. They told me, if I come here, it's a true story. The second story is the same. This woman, this is a family. They send their children to school. Normal, every day. It's a mixed religious group. There's one group that is dominant. Islamic militants are there. One day when they came back from work, or when they were in the house, somebody dropped in front of the door the two heads of their children. Two. All your children are in the basket. They left in the morning going to school. And they dropped them. And so the parent, when they interviewed the parent says, we are going nowhere. We are here to preach the gospel. If we cannot be willing to lose our children, we are not willing to lose our life, we are not worth the cross of Christ. We are not worth the life that Christ has given to us. So you have to understand that the gospel we preach, when Jesus says, if you are following me, there must be a high level of sacrifice. Clothes should not define who a prosperous Christian is. It's a false appearance. Yes. The issue is, how many people are you sharing the gospel with? Are you able to tell others about the love of God? The same way as Christ has loved you, are you making your resources to reach others for their life to change? Or you are just looking at your own comfort. The next big thing, I should be a millionaire. And then what? 10 million, then what? 1 billion, then what? Then you continue to disobey. the scriptures. You continue to do your own thing. Now, you have to understand, Christianity is persecution. Christianity is suffering. Christianity without suffering, Christianity without the cross is not a true Christianity. You cannot say you are following Jesus by being comfortable. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm saying.
Amen.
Yes. If now we were to ask you, go, we are sending you to Syria to go and preach the gospel there. Will you go? You know Syria? If they find you, they'll chop your head. You know what they did in Syria? They took somebody's child. They held the child with two legs. And they said to the parent, renounce or denounce Jesus. The parent says, there's no way. Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. They took the child and banged the head of the child on the hard surface. They had spatter, blood, little feet shaking. They take the second child. Tell us. Says, I'm going nowhere. Jesus loves you. He came here for you and he died for you. For us, Jesus is making more money. For us, Jesus is driving the nice car. For us, Jesus is living comfortably. The blessing of the Lord is money to us. It's never souls. We don't think about others who have not heard the gospel. No, we don't. We are only thinking about Babylon has caught us. We are having loans with Babylon. Yes, on one of the days, I used weights. I asked them to bring the weights during the women's conference. The loan becomes one weight. The car becomes another. You can't serve the Lord. It's not possible. Because even when you don't have to work overtime, you have to go and work overtime. You have to do things that naturally you will not do. These things you never had. I'm definitely sure even if you lose your... There are people who are not working here. They've been eating every day. We've been praying you for the past year. You haven't got the job, but you have been eating. You are still here, looking fresh. Nobody's emaciated here. But the system of the world will make you to believe that you are not worth something because you are not working. Because Babylon wants to enslave you. If we say to you, come, let's go and win souls. Even though you are not working, you say, I'm busy, I don't have time. Because Babylon has stolen the most important thing. And you are believing it, that you will not succeed. And God has said it. I've got a good plan for your life. To prosper you. It takes obedience to do the word of God. I was talking to a pastor. I said, me, I'm on the street, I win souls by myself. I pray one day God will give me that strength. I'll blow the horn one day. Most churches will be empty. It's my people. They don't win souls. Preach comfort. Falsehood. Make people to believe that something is going to be nice tomorrow. Keep them busy, but let them do nothing important. We had a friend who were visiting them. For whatever reason, we were not able to go. Now, they were reporting to my wife. This friend of ours was reporting to my wife. It's a very powerful city, great city. He says, you don't believe. We waited for you for the whole day. She was very fed up. Is that so? Yes. She said, it was before cell phones. They were rich. We even took our phones outside, the long extension, at the pool. We were waiting for you in our beginnings to try and show to us that they are living an affluent life. No, we didn't come for holidays. We came to restore souls of men. By grace, I'm passing by your house. But I'm not here for bridesmaids. Are you living right with your wife? Are you an example of Christ? Or you have become now the celebrity. You want to do what you like. You want to be worshipped. Let me close as I said I close. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. It's your choice. It is your choice. Let's come and win souls you don't come. Come for training, you don't come. All the other things you do, except this one thing, to serve the Lord. Until the day when you are sick, you want prayer. Until the day when they have chased you from work, you want God's intervention. So God is a slot machine for you. Suffering is part of the call of Christians. I said suffering is part of Christianity. Amen. When you get born again, you should understand that God has a good plan for your life. To make you the first, not the last. To make you the head and not the tail. It's part of the same scripture. The cross exalts you. It's a place of pain, but the cross makes you to be higher, to be superior, to be above. That's what the cross of Christ did. If you come to Jesus, that's exactly what will happen. God will lift you up. But to be up there, it is your life that you have to give. Currently, we equate the high life with the clothes we put on. No, the high life is the sacrifice, your willingness for others to know Jesus. There are other nations, there are other tribes, there are other people who have never heard about Jesus. For us, we live in total comfort. We don't even care because we think it's fine. Some time ago, we were talking about this thing of the 8th when they are voting. I said, South Africa, because of the way we think, we have to go through pain. You need to come have a government that is dysfunctional. You need to go to other nations. You can't apply for anything. To drive from here to Joburg, you'll find 30 roadblocks. 5 kilometers, you have to pay all the way. Then you will learn what it is to pray. You will learn what it is to serve the Lord. You will realize all these things is vanity of vanities. I said, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, if you are my disciples, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross. And I'm not saying resign. I'm not saying be full-time. I'm saying serve Jesus. Let your work be an extension. Let it be a pulpit where people will know about Jesus. Let the resources you get not be for personal consummation where you are going to buy the biggest car. No. Let it be for the advancement of the kingdom. Let your life be the life of God. Hallelujah. Can we bow our heads together? Can we close our eyes? I want you to pray for yourself. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is a prayer that you can make. I've made the decision. I'm going to follow you. My message might no longer be popular because I will not say you are getting married this evening or you'll have a million rand tomorrow morning. But I can tell you, if you listen, you'll be wealthier than any other man, any other woman on the face. I'm very wealthy. I've been saying it. I've got souls. I can present something to the Lord. Do you have something to present to the Lord? Can we pray together? Pray for yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you in this month of Women's Month, Lord. May our hearts be turned towards you, as you did with Mary and Elizabeth, who conceived by the Spirit. Lord, we pray for ourselves, that Lord, we may conceive by the Holy Spirit. As you used Rahab, the prostitute, who was insignificant, Lord, but she was willing to lose and let go of all. Father, we pray for ourselves that the same may be true of us. That, Lord, we may be willing, Father, to sacrifice. As Jesus has said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. This day, Lord, we come before you. We pray as we deny ourselves that, Father, give us the strength to say no to unrighteousness. And, Father, to pursue, to understand that the cross is part of the suffering. That we don't work for the flesh. We don't work for our satisfaction, but we work for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Father, I commit each and every man, woman, and child in this building that, Lord, our life will not be wasted on useless things, but, Lord, that our life will be fully committed to the great things that God has said. before
us. Ponyama gachu,
ponyama gachu,
ponyama gachu.